Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is the Old Testament lesson appointed for the 20th Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from Isaiah chapter 45, starting at the first verse, and then reading on down to the 7th verse. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who called you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that the people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all of these things. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, we praise your name for the word that you bring us each week. And we ask especially, Lord God, that you tune out all the things that are happening around us out of our minds, that we might be able to focus on what it is that we hear and that it is blessed into our hearts. We ask you to give us understanding and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, if you were to drop a pebble into an absolutely calm pond, you'd immediately see the effect that it had on the water. It would create a ripple on the surface of the water made up of a series of concentric rings or circles that emanated outwards from the point where that little stone broke the surface, and those rings would continue to spread and spread and spread. Now, this is the same kind of thing that's happening in our sermon text today. Starting with one person, God issues a promise. But what a person. Wow. God promised to reach down to Cyrus, an unknown king, not yet born, and anoint him and use him to break Israel out of its Babylonian captivity and return it to the land of Judah and its capital city of Jerusalem. Even though Cyrus would be from a different people completely, a people who believed in a completely different God. Now that would be like God today choosing a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or anyone with such a limited knowledge or lack of knowledge of God, if you will, and saying to them, you are the vehicle which I chose to bring my people out of slavery. Why do that? Why of all the spots in the pond would God drop a pebble right there specifically? Now the answer doesn't lie in the man nor in the might or anything else pertaining to the chosen person. It lies within the heart of the one making the choice. God picked out one name in particular and said, you will see my promises unfold. You would stand in awe of what it is I've done. Cyrus himself, I'm sure, would be in shock at God's choice and in awe of his prediction once he heard it recounted to him. But so too would the people of Israel. Can you imagine being a teacher of Israel in Babylon and watching the king of Babylon flee out of the city before Cyrus? That king who was a leader of a nation that was considered the world's superpower? Can you imagine a nation whose army under Nebuchadnezzar led you and your people from Israel into captivity some 70 years earlier, now giving up their entire kingdom to a lesser king with a lesser army? Can you imagine Cyrus walking through those heavy bronze gates in Babylon while you yourself were standing there as a teacher holding Isaiah's script right in the palm of your hands? Foretold the day of victory, but 100 years earlier, prophetic words are being fulfilled right down to the very name of the king who's walking through that gate. For the sake of my servant Jacob and for Israel my chosen, I have called you, Cyrus, by name, though you do not know me. You see, God's intent was not to glorify Cyrus specifically, but to use that one person that he prophesied exactly as he had prophesied, so that the world would see and believe that God is God, to the glory of his name. I equip you, though you do not know me, that the people may know you from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So from that one specific spot where the pebble was dropped, the ripples began to radiate out to Israel and then to the world. This is God's MO. This is his modus operandi, his method of operation, which, by the way, has been repeated in the past, which continues to be repeated in our world today. Abraham, for example, we've all heard his name. God chose Abraham to become a nation, specifically saying that through him he would bless the world. Listen to what he says. In you, God told him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 3. The pebble drops right at Abraham. Then the ring, the first ring is Isaac, Abraham's son. That's the first ripple. That's an important ripple. As well, of Isaac, God, after testing Abraham, said to Abraham, he said this, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. All the nations of the earth. This is going somewhere. Through Isaac, the ripples move out to Jacob, through Jacob to Joseph, who saved his 11 brothers from famine. Joseph brings his brothers and his dad and his their families and everybody into Egypt. Enslavement certainly follows. But after that, so too does freedom from enslavement through God's instrument, Moses, the next ripple. He leads all of Israel out of captivity. And then God says this about the nation of Israel. The Lord God has declared you today to be his people, a treasured possession, as he has promised you. And he will set you high above all the nations which he has made for praise, for fame, for honor, that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God as he has spoken. Deuteronomy 26, 18 and 19, the ripple moves out from there to Joshua, who leads God's people into the promised land. And from there, generation after generation, we're blessed to see these things. And they're blessed to witness it too, that God testified to the goodness of his works. That happened through King David, through King Solomon, all the way down to even Joseph, the husband of Mary, to whom Jesus was born. Jesus was born. Jesus our Lord, through whom the church of which you are a part of is formed. Insignificant as any one of those pebbles might be, or any one of those ripples are, God has done all that to make you into a wave. And now the world sees. Now the world sees for you. Our chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. One pebble, and look now, the wave. God ultimately chose and used each one of his people to keep his promise and to do that, to help to redeem the world. And you're included in all of that. You're named to liberate a nation as an instrument of God, given into God's plan to prepare the world for Christ and direct the world's attention to his salvation. And God will never back down from that either. He's never going to back down from what it is he's prepared, not for your sake, not for your children's sake, not for the sake of your grandchildren or your friends or your co-workers or your fellow students or anyone else whom you love or know or even just meet. That's your assurance for this week. As that ripple can't be stopped on the surface of the water, so too God's word and his plan of salvation can't be stilled. That plan will continue to spread from its epicenter, which is now Christ, through you and outwards from there to God's glory. God loves you and has chosen you to be his people. That's your key verse for this week, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4b. God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. He's done that with purpose, and I pray that you live rejoicing in what it is to which God has called you. You, after all, are the beneficiaries of that calling, radiating out from Christ and in an ever-widening circle as his church to the glory of Christ, in whose name we all say, Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, it's an amazing thing that you've done. You dropped a pebble right there in the middle of a still body of water, and it started to radiate. We're in awe that we are part of those waves, Lord God. We're in awe that you have called us to be your church and continue to use us as your word spreads. We pray that you help us to understand that you are in us and that we can glorify your name and praise your name and especially proclaim your name to the people around us. Bless us then, dear God, as we do this, and use us as your church. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen. And amen.